2 Samuel 22, verse 1. If I had time, I'd read this whole chapter, but there are 51 verses in it. But we'll refer to some of them as we meditate on God's Word together. But I'm going to read, for the sake of time, the first 20 verses in 2 Samuel 22. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. The channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me, because he delighted in me. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from his word this morning. In our last study, as we looked at David, this man after God's own heart, we'd been looking at two chapters together, 2 Samuel 15 and 2 Samuel 18. And there we noted, sadly, the tragic end of a rebellious young man. You may remember at that particular time in David's experience that his life was in a mess and it was heading for another time of crisis. Personally, David was still feeling the guilt and the shame of what had happened to Bathsheba. He was trying to rebuild his life with his people and trying desperately hard to put the past behind him. Family-wise, his home was in a real mess. Incest, rape, murder, and soon open rebellion from his son Absalom. Politically, as a leader, David had lost respect among his peers, and his authority was not only being questioned, but soon was to be challenged, and challenged by this young man, Absalom. What a young man he was. We noted three things about him. His character, and how that his character is difficult at times for us to understand. He was a young man of great beauty, yet his life was filled with deceit. He was a young man deeply loved by his own father and family, but family love and loyalty meant absolutely nothing to him. We looked at his conduct, for after he had killed Amnon and things turned from bad to worse, he fled from home, was no longer welcome in his father's presence, and when he returned again to his father's court, he began to win over the hearts of his father's subjects. And by the time David discovered what had happened, it was too late. Absalom had won the hearts of his people. But what a conclusion. And by that I mean the end of his life. Ending drastically and dramatically, he lost the battle with his father's army. He lost his own life in the process. And he lost his own soul. David knew it. And it broke his heart. And David said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." Life's important, isn't it? How we live is vitally important. But when it comes to death, you and I need to make absolutely sure that it's well. It's well with our soul. Today here in 2 Samuel 22, we come to what I'm calling David's Psalm of Thanksgiving. He's now coming to the latter days of his life. I know some commentators would say that the opening verses refer to the earlier part of David's life, but most commentators are agreed that David is in what you and I might call now the twilight years of his life. He's been through many different experiences, and all of them shaped him to be the man of God that God needed him to be. And all the experiences of life, as far as you and I are concerned, God is in the same process of building us, of shaping us, of making us into the people that God wants us to be. And when God begins to do that, and as God continues to do that, the fact is that those times are not always pleasant. Sometimes they're very painful. Sometimes God brings us through circumstances we could never, ever have imagined would come into our lives, but God in His providence brings us that way to shape us, to mold us, to make us more like the Lord Jesus. David was certainly being molded. Throughout his lifetime, he had many difficult experiences, but when he comes now to the end of life, Psalm 37:25, he says this, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." He's a man and he's not looking forward so much now, he's looking back at life and he's thinking about the pathway that he has already traveled. If you and I had time today to think about it, and we don't, we could think of so many things as a sermon and this on its own. Here's a man whose life had filled with trials. Trials that affected him greatly. Not just Saul, Absalom, to call to mind two different situations. A man after God's own heart, and yet his life was filled with trials. As God's people, you and I are not immune to the trials of life. You and I could sit here today and look back, even though we're not as old as perhaps David was on this occasion. But there have been times when our faith has been tested to the limit. There have been times when our hopes have been dashed. Times when our lives have been very difficult. And times when we sobbed far more than we ever sung. That's life. David had to cope with temptation. He coped badly because we need not go over the life that he had and how he fell with Bathsheba. David had to cope with tragedy, the death of the son who was born out of that relationship, and also, of course, how he was deeply affected by Absalom's death. But I want you to see today, as far as David is concerned, his life was not just about trials and temptations and tragedies. Because despite his faults and failures, he had much to rejoice in when he looked back on life. There were times of triumph too. In other words, there were blessings And there were battles. And as Warren Wiersbe says about the blessings and battles of life, God always gives us the right amount at the right time because he knows exactly what we need. But for David, there were triumphs. He had known the Lord's blessing on his life. He had experienced many a victory in dark, difficult days. He had enjoyed many an answer to prayer when it seemed as if there was no hope for him. And now in this song of thanksgiving, he has great cause to praise God. And his praise is more remarkable when we understand what David has just been through. He's lost a rebellious son. He wept over him. He led his people through 3 years now of famine in the land. He has been in conflict again with the Philistines, who had been a continual thorn in David's side. But David was still able to sing through the storms of life. Beloved, that's not easy, is it? It's easy to sing the songs of Zion as we refer to them when all is well with us, when life is treating us good. It's much more difficult to sing when the storms of life are raging all around you. It's much more difficult to sing when you're swimming continually against the tide and you think that you're going under. It's much more difficult to praise the Lord when you're hanging on by your fingertips and when the joy seems to have almost disappeared from your life for one reason or another. It's hard at times to sing in the midst of those storms. But David did it. This is a song of thanksgiving. And David didn't write this song when things were going well in his life. He wrote it after his life was thrown into turmoil by some personal and national tragedies. How did he do that? How was he able to pen this and put this all together after the experiences that had come through? Well, there are many things in this song of thanksgiving, but I'm going to mention three. And I want you and I to remember this amidst all the battles of life. There are many of them. They come at different times in our experience. They come in different guises. But when they come, please remember these three things about David at this time. Here's the first. David was aware of God's presence. David was aware of God's presence. Listen to what David says here in verse 2 to 4. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence, and I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now, if any man knew what it was to face difficulties in life, David was that man. You read through this song when you go home today and just browse through it perhaps through the week at your leisure, and you'll see that interspersed amongst the praise that marks David's life are a number of problems that David had to face. Verse 3, there was violence in the land. Verse 5, there were days when he felt he was going under. Verse 18, there were enemies he had to face in his life. So all in all, we can say that David was it a very difficult place, and that's why he says in verse 7, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice. My cry entered his ears." He was in a difficult place, but he was encouraged to know that he was not in this alone. God knew about him. And God cared for him. And more than anything, God was only a prayer away. David knew his God, and he knew that God was involved in every aspect of his life. And if that brought a great encouragement to David, that should bring an encouragement to your heart and mine this morning too. Let me ask you something.
Is your life at this present time one of trouble and turmoil? Is your home like a battlefield? Is everything in your life so difficult and discouraging you feel like giving up? And far worse than that, you feel today that nobody cares. Oh yes, you're out in the Lord's house and you're sitting amongst the Lord's people and you're singing the Lord's praise, and outwardly, my, everything seems to be so good, so well. Everybody thinks it's never been better, and inwardly today you're in turmoil. Absolutely deflated. Spiritually hanging on by your fingertips, not knowing which way to turn. Well, listen again to what David says here. Take this, grasp this, remind yourself of it often. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. That's why I sang that lovely chorus hymn, call it what you like, but it's so true, faithful one, so unchanging. I call out to you again and again. Why do we do that? Because we know that God is always there. Because we know that God cares. Because we know that God is able to do what we cannot do. Because we know today without God moving His hand in our situations, they'll just remain the same. But today we'll look to Him. Because He's the one who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Brother or sister in Christ, I don't know what it is that you're facing just now in your life, nor do you know mine. But I do know this. God knows all about us. And God even feels the pain that we're going through. God's aware of every detail of our lives. You know the thing that amazes me? Despite the faults and the failures on my part, despite the fact that unlike Him, I'm so prone to change. Despite the fact that at times I'm so unfaithful. That God today is deeply interested in me. He's deeply interested in you. And when times are tough, you remember the Lord is your rock and your strength and your high tower and your place of safety. You remember that He's only a prayer away. You remember that He's the one that you must turn to. You must trust in. It's His grace that sustains us in the dark periods of our life. It's His love that reassures us that He's in control when everything seems to be out of control. And it's His presence that gets us through the difficult days when loneliness and fear and disappointment and discouragement would seek to overwhelm us. Are you looking heavenward this morning? My help cometh from the Lord. David was aware of God's presence. Here's the second thing. David was aware of God's leading. Now you'll have to come down to verse 29 with me for this. That's why it's always good to keep your Bible opened. But in verse 29, David says, for Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by Thee I have run through the troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. And we don't have time to consider all the terminology there, but here's the point. David says, You are my lamp, O Lord, You lighten my darkness. Your way is absolutely perfect. And of course, David uses that terminology on many occasions throughout the books of Psalm. He speaks about the Lord being his light and salvation, Psalm 27. He speaks about unclear periods in his life when he didn't know where to turn, but he says, "But I looked to thee, O Lord. I cried out to thee, my soul said." As far as David was concerned, there were many times of darkness in his life. There were many times when he stood back and he must have feared about the future. How do you think he felt when he was in the cave and Saul was after his life? How do you think he felt when he gathered together everything he could in a moment of time and cleared and went on the run because Absalom was going to kill him and all belonging to him? How do you think he felt when he faced dark days like that? Must have feared the future. There were times he must have wondered about the way ahead. There were times he must have wondered what God was doing. After all, he had been set apart as Israel's king, and now Israel's king's in exile. There surely must have been times in his life when he must have wondered, does God really know what he's doing? Not only was David conscious of God's presence, despite the darkness and difficulties, he knew that God was in control of every aspect of his life. And even if David couldn't always understand many of the circumstances he found himself in, he knew that God would overrule, because God had a plan and a purpose for David. Beloved, there are always periods in our own life when we wonder about certain things. And especially when things don't work out the way that we planned or expected. And I know there'll be some say, "Well, I've never been in this place and I've never ever doubted God's leading in my life." Well, you're very fortunate. You're very fortunate. Because I would say that there are some people sitting here today and they think about the leading of God's life and they wonder at times, is God in it? And where was God when I needed him the most? And why have things planned out the way they have, especially when God assured me that he loved me and he wanted what was best for me? Sometimes we all have our own particular fears. Let me mention one or two just in passing as time permits. Maybe today some of us are afraid of an unknown future. Some of you considering the Lord's will for your lives. Perhaps the more you think about it, the more confusing it becomes. And the more people talk to you about what you should do, the more confused you get about what lies ahead. And yet you've sought the Lord and you've waited on him. And at this stage, there's no clear direction, and that has caused confusion. Listen, don't be confused. And whilst it's good to take the counsel of people from time to time, it's far more important that you listen to God. And it's far more important that your heart is open to him. And it's far more important that your life is guided by his word. So today, don't be confused. Keep praying. Keep trusting. And when the Lord wants you to know where he wants you to be and what he wants you to do, he'll show you in his own time. And he'll confirm it to you through his word. F.W. Borum, as a young man, sat one day in the veranda of his home, and he was sitting in the presence of an old godly minister who had visited his home. They sat together, and Borum, who was young and very inexperienced, said to the old man, "Sir, do you think that a man can be sure of God's leading in a time of difficulty?" The old man replied, "Yes, I'm sure of it, if you'll only give God time." He then looked at Borum and he said to him, "Young man, for as long as you live, remember that. Give God time. Give God time." Some people today don't give God much time. And sadly, some don't give God any time. And they're prone to run on ahead of God and open doors of their own making without any prayer, without waiting on God. That leads often to disappointment, to defeat, and sometimes to an early exit from ministry. If you're seeking God's will today for your life, give God time. Wait. Be patient. Don't open doors that God doesn't. Follow Him. And when the Lord wants you to know where He wants you to be and what He wants you to do, He'll show you. Because He'll want you to do things His way. Here's another thing. Maybe some of you today are facing exams and you're fearful about your future. Pastor, what do I do? Do I continue studying and going to university and get my degree and come out when at the minute the field that I've chosen, there's no jobs when I graduate? Pastor, do I go down the place of employment and yet so many people today are unemployed? What do I do? I'm totally confused. I'm being pulled this way and that way and my mum and dad want this, that, and the other thing for me. What does the Lord want? What does God want from you? What has God got for you? You need to wait. And you need to pray and you need to trust Him and you need to follow His leading. For what is unclear to you right now is perfectly clear to Him. And you must allow Him to lead. Because after all, no matter how we address this, the best place for any one of us to be is in the center of God's will. As for God, His way is perfect. God has a perfect plan and purpose for you, as He has for me. I wouldn't have dreamt all those years ago when I started out on my Christian journey, I'd ever have been the way the Lord led me, but that's the way He did it. Thank God today He knows the way that we take. He knows. So wait, and God will show you. David was aware of God's presence. David was aware of God's leading. Here's the third thing. David was aware of God's strength. If many of us had to face what David had to face in his lifetime, I probably would have given up long ago. I probably would have thrown the head up and said, "Well, that's it. No more." But whatever David faced, he didn't give up because he drew from God's resources. And he knew that God's strength would enable him to see things through. Look at verse 32 for a moment. "For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me up upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip." These are not the words of a man struggling to survive. These are not the words of a man who has learned that his strength and his resources are found in God, and they are found in God alone. He's able to face everything that life threw at him, because his sufficiency is not in himself, his sufficiency is in God. As you sit this morning thinking, is there someone else coming to your mind? Of course there is, the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above strength or measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And how did Paul respond? He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the secret of real strength in the believer's life. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Someone ever said to you, oh, don't do that, don't react like that. That's a sign of weakness. Well, unless you get to the place of weakness, Paul says, you'll never know the strength that God has available to empower you for your ministry and life. When I am weak, he says, then am I strong. It's when we lose our self-sufficiency that we realize that God alone is sufficient to meet our need. It's when we're at our weakest point and depending on God alone that we're at our strongest. It's when we come to an end of ourselves that God provides the sufficiency of his grace. Are we not slow today to learn that lesson? I think we are. I think I am. Because we think we're so much stronger than we are. Ashamed at times to admit our weakness. And sometimes so self-confident and so self-sufficient that we sometimes live as if we don't need God. For those of you who go out to serve the Lord, whether you preach or whether you sing or whether you testify or whatever you do, do you spend time alone with God before you go? Do you empty yourself of self that God might fill you? Are you so confident in your own ability that you just go and do it anyway and expect God to bless it? When I am weak, then am I strong, Paul says. And someone has said this, when you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough. Enough. You see, the battles of life that we're engaged in, especially in the spiritual realm, you and I are no match for the devil. Or sometimes he tells us that we're far better than we think we are. And sometimes he would persuade us that we can do this ourselves, our own way, without God. It's when the failures come that we learn the lesson. God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. David was through a lot, wasn't he? Can he cope with everything that life threw at him? And that's why he was able to conclude this psalm with the words of verse 50, and with this I'll close. Therefore, will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praise unto thy name. This man's in his latter years, the twilight years of his life. No bitterness, no resentment, just a heart of gratitude and a song of praise. I hope I finish my life like that, if I'm spared to see the latter years. When I prepared this, I went downstairs and sat down with my wife. I said, Christine, I hope as I grow older, I don't become miserable. And I hope I don't become resentful and this, that, and the other thing. She says, John, you're already there. Because sometimes, you know, life can make us bitter. And sometimes the longer we go in life, we can become cynical. And sometimes before we hit the end of the journey, we become critical. And we lose our joy. We lose our song. We lose our focus. And too many people grow old, resenting so much, living with bitter regret. I hope when I get to the end of the journey, I'll be more like David. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, and I will sing praise unto thy name. Why? Because David was aware of God's presence. David was aware of God's leading. And David was aware of God's strength. That's how he faced and overcome the battles.